Hey, Giant fans. Welcome to the Giant Insider podcast. My name is Jerry Foley. I'm the senior editor of the Giant Insider newspaper. And with me, as always, is the beat writer in the heart of Giants Nation. Nobody beats the biz, Chris Bisignano. And for those of you watching, I'm smiling because I'm watching the ticker go up and people are already watching because it's camp season. And look, here's what I'll say. And I'm a buffoon, and I admit it. But, you know, 5 weeks ago, my enthusiasm was 2 out of 10 on the Giants. I mean, as the season gets closer, it's always higher. But it was 2 out of 10. I just kind of thought where I thought I knew where this team was. And then Neighbor starts blowing up, and Chris is talking about Neighbors. And now the last 2 days of the Detroit Lions practice, based on Chris's coverage and his comments about how different it looks from last year, Chris, I'm an 8 out of 10. I have the Giants going 11-6 already. No, I'm just kidding. I mean, it's just, you know.
I think you meant that a little bit.
I do.
I know you fully. I think there's a little truth to what you just said. Again,
there is. Yeah, there is. There's a little truth. Yeah. I'm so psyched. And it was what you said.
So tell me what you psyched.
I'm psyched because last year you thought it was clear that the Lions were more physical and such a more talented team. Yeah. And you, I think you said this, it was the 2 days of it now. It wasn't just day one where they caught him by surprise. Day two. Yeah. And the fact that, you know, Malik Neighbors burning the Giants secondary is one thing, but burning Detroit and you're like, uncoverable? You got me like at an 8 to 9 out of 10 and then the season hasn't started yet. So good job by you, Chris.
And Jerry, you look, I think you're not alone in this boat.
Yeah.
This is a cruise liner now where there's thousands of people, bro, because I think what people saw the other day has everybody fired up.
Yeah.
Now look, I'm always a pump the brake type guy like that. Now, there's no game planning and all that. It wasn't four quarters against a better team and all that. But what you saw out there was a team getting very – going head-to-head with a very talented team. And I was right there watching it. So what happened last year, just for quick, of people who forgot, and Tuto, my man Tuto, thank you.
Yeah, we got to call him out already, man. My God, this guy's awesome. This guy's You're the great. Best, buddy. We love you, Tuto.
Thank you again.
Thanks, man.
Contribution. Really appreciate
Jeez,
it.
Jeez, oh, man. You're the best, bud.
Thank you. So, Jerry, last year, when they went to Detroit for joint practices, they were pushed around day one.
Right.
Pushed around. It was embarrassing. Day two, a little bit better. So they weren't having that this year. Brian Daboll was not having that this year. And we weren't quite sure if he gave like a little bit of a fired up speech watching the practice Monday. We all know what happened. I'm going to get into everything.
Yeah, go ahead.
But Daboll, then Devin Singletary, after the practice, came out and said Daboll gave a real fiery speech before the first practice. Basically, knowing Daboll, it was like, they start any shit physical, we're going to knock them on their ass. And that's exactly what the Giants did. They were going at it big time. Anytime a Detroit show, I mean, it was getting to the point, Jerry, in each joint practice that
– yeah.
Every play, especially a running play, you just expected a skirmish.
Nice.
You know?
Yeah.
So it was like, we're not taking no crap. We don't give a crap that you're one of the best teams in the NFC. I'll tell you a quick, I talked to Alex Anzalone, the Detroit Lions linebacker, after the practice.
Oh, nice.
Monday. Me and Alex, we have a connection to a mutual friend, so I know Alex. So, and I said, Alex, you know, freaking Giants, you know, guys are going at it. He goes, yeah, no, he goes, you know, it's a heated day. It was hot as all hell, as you know, Jerry, Monday. Right. So, and he was like, yeah, he goes, well, I tell you what, he goes, you know, last year we kind of got our way a little bit against these guys. And he goes, well, this year they responded. That's what he told me. He goes, this year they came at us pretty good.
Right.
And he was laughing. He goes, we all laugh. We all love each other. He was like, you know, football is sort of like hockey, Jerry. As soon as the final buzzer, that's it. Everybody's shaking hands. Everybody's laughing. Right. Everybody's blah, 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 blah.
Right.
Right. So that was the mentality. And I'm going to tell you something. I put this on Twitter, Jerry, the other day. I said, I think Brian Daboll this offseason sat at home with his coaches and said, hey, fellas, I think my training camps were a little bit too soft.
Okay.
I think I'm going to toughen that up this year. I don't give a shit if it's 100 degrees. We're going 2 hours or 1 hour and 50 really hard. Drill after drill after drill after drill.
Right.
Want a break? Drill, 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 drill.
Yeah.
He's a lot of teams, which he's been. It was all sevens in the OTAs, but all teams.
Yep.
I don't care when they have the pads on. I don't care if it's 95 degrees. We're getting at it.
Yeah.
I think Dave's wanted one of the adjustments he made with himself, and all coaches adjust. You have to. We saw one of the best coaches this league's ever seen. Jerry, we went through it, me and you, Bill Parcells.
Yep.
Make adjustments.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
I think Dable says, nah, you know what? I got to get these guys a little tougher. I myself, as a head coach, I need a little tougher practices. We got to get these guys a little bit on edge and tougher. I've seen in practices this year, there's only so much you can do, Jerry. You know, there's no pads every day. There's no two-a-days. No driving guys to the ground. But you could speed up the process. Drill after drill. Eat. Boom. Get a little physical. Chip. Boom. You know, keep it going. Not call practices like 1.5 hours because it's 95, which I've seen Dave's do. He'll cut practice 1.5 hours because they feel they got the – nah. This year it's like, no. I sense that about Dable. And then obviously, Jerry, they come out against the Lions. Dable gives that fiery speech. And they go out and they go toe-to-toe with a very good football team.
Right.
And look, here's the bottom line, dude. We're going to see what Malik Davis. So the first step of the process with Malik was, well, nobody could cover him on the Giants. He was dominating. Okay, that's great. Shorts, blah, blah, blah. Okay, so now we're going to have some real competition, another jersey. Let's see what he does there.
Yeah.
So you see Terrell Arnold, the number one pick. You see the veteran Carlton Davis, right?
Yep.
And you see, well, guess what? Nobody could cover Malik on the Lions. He was burning them left and right. You name the route, Jerry, he probably ran it and beat him. Daniel hit him with verticals. I think it was maybe 1 or 2 incomplete pass attempts his way in 2 days.
I saw somewhere it was 17 of 18 or something.
Something like that. I know people keep – honestly.
Yeah.
Honestly, I don't keep these right. 11 for 13. 11, yeah, right. I don't keep it. But I know the percentage was very high, and if whoever reported that – I saw it on Twitter. I don't remember the beat guy reported it.
Yeah, me neither.
I trust him. I'm sure he's right, you know. I just don't keep those stats. I just think they're like a little like, okay, stop now. You know, but anyway, people like to keep them. God bless them. They like to keep them. They keep them. And it's good. You know, you see, Daniel's pretty accurate today. You know, the people aren't there. So one guy reported 1 incompletion. On the, 17 of 18 is correct. Bill Harnett just reported.
Yeah,
okay.
Bill Harnett, yeah.
And I'm not going to argue that, Bill, because I don't remember many hitting the ground. I remember 1 incompletion. I thought there was a couple, but okay. Anyway, the point being is that, so now he's against a team that was 1 quarter away from going to Super Bowl, right?
Yep.
And I thought was going to win that Super Bowl. I actually talked to Alex Anzalone about it. I know everybody on TV pronounces his name Anzalone, but us Paisans, it's Anzalone, okay?
It ends in an A, right.
Right. So Alex... And I said to Alex, you guys are 1 quarter away, man. I said, dude, I like the way you matched up again. I think you would have beat the Chiefs. He goes, we felt that way, the same way. Because we destroyed over that loss because we fought behind. Anyway, that's the type of team the Giants practice against.
Yeah.
Toe-to-toe, and nobody could cover Malik. Day two, nobody could cover Malik.
Yeah.
So now I look at it, I go, okay, so this is a process. So now he passed that test. Now we go back against the team. So tomorrow night, he's not going to play, I'm sure. Malik, I'd be surprised if he plays. I don't think he's going to get it. He's got good work against the Lions. No reason to play Daniel and him in the first preseason, right? You're going to see the McKenzies, Isaiah Hodgins, those guys out there tomorrow, right? Allen Robinson, you know, guys like that. So next test, Jerry, March 21st, they go to Florham Park against a very good Jets defense.
Yeah.
And Sauce Gardner, DJ Reed. I don't think Michael Carter will be back. I think he's going to be out like 3 or 4 weeks. But anyway, a top five defense, right, with 2 very good corners. 1, in my opinion, might be the best in the game.
Best in the league, yeah.
In Sauce Gardner.
Yeah.
So now you're going to sit there, and we're going to be there at Florham Park. It's a one day, Jerry. It's not 2 days. It's 1 day against the Jets.
Right.
And we're going to watch him against Sauce and him against DJ. And that'll be the next test.
Well, you saw last year, Sauce took a lot of pride in, you know, Jalin Hyatt not catching a pass in the preseason game, right?
Yes.
Now
yes.
The ball was underthrown, so it's going to be, he's going to be amped for this. Like, he's probably already, like, tired of hearing about neighbors. I want to shut him down.
Absolutely.
And he should. I agree with you, dude. I think Sauce is one of the best in the league, and it's one of those guys, like, you just dislike him only because he's on the other team. If he was a Giant, he'd love him. But, yeah, you know that he's going to be amped for that. I was going to ask you, Chris, like, the way the off, and I don't want to get off Malik, but I just want to ask you this one question. The way the offense handled themselves against Detroit, like, bringing in Runyon and Illuminor and Van Roten, like, that's the gist of it in the, you know, right? I mean, neighbors aside, I mean, those guys, it seems like right now we have a professional functioning offensive line now. Or no?
I feel much, much better.
Yeah.
About Illuminor at right tackle. Now, I am a little concerned still on the inside.
Okay.
Schmitz is out. He's out 8 straight practices. That's shoulder. Van Roten's playing center. Runyon, you know, and then you got Aaron Stinney, who I'm not crazy about. He's just an average guard. I know he's a starter.
The new Ben Bredesen.
He's a decent guard.
Yeah.
Okay. Not a tomato, but a decent guard, but not a very good guard. Okay. So I'm a little, you saw it in day 2 too. Guys on the inside kind of had their way in up front a little bit in the lines. So the inside's got to get settled down. And I believe it will, Jerry, once Schmitz comes back.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and Greg goes the right guard and then Runyon's going to be left guard, you know?
Yeah.
So, but no question, Jerry, on the edges, obviously Andrew and Illuminor, you feel better.
Right.
With Jermaine at right tackle. And the inside, still a little bit of a work in progress, still has to settle down. But Jerry, as compared to last season, dude, last year's offense, yeah, you're feeling so much better because you saw Hutchinson, you know, guys up front, McNeil, they got some talent up front, bro. You know, Davenport, they got some. And you saw sometimes Daniel go back and he had that clean pocket, you know?
Yeah.
And he threw some of those verticals, you know? And as far as Daniel goes, well, how could you not be encouraged by him?
Right.
For what you saw those 2 days.
Yep.
He was very good, Daniel. He checked down when he had to check down the routes. He had a nice touch on the routes. The ball of Malik Nabers, that was the incomplete, I guess the one incomplete out of the 2 days. They ruled it out of bounds. That was right in front of me, dude.
Yeah.
And I thought it wasn't. I thought it was.
That's the one where you said you thought he was in. Yeah, okay.
I thought he was in, but whatever. It's no big deal. The side judge said, no, he was out. And right in front of me, somebody from the Giants came over. What do you mean he's out? You know, what did he do? And his left foot, his left heel hit the chalk. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, I didn't quite see that. I didn't see that.
Well, listen, there's a picture of you looking at Hyatt very intently. So the way you looked at that play, I'm guessing you may have gotten it right.
Yeah, I was right. I thought I got it right, but whatever. It's no big deal. It's preseason, but that should have been a completion, right?
Yeah.
So, but Daniel, a couple of throws, they kind of undercut his throw. Could have been a pick on one of them. I forget the guy on the lines who it was, but for the most part, overall, Daniel was very good. And that's encouraging.
Yeah.
Right? Confidence. Daniel's got a chip about him this year, bro. He's got a fire about him. Yeah. He's in there. Now, we'll get to the fights and stuff like that, but let's talk football for now. And then we'll talk about the other stuff.
Real quick, let me just call out Steve Cabrera. I know Steve. Steve owns Classico Tomato Pies in West Windsor. He is a Jedi with the pizza. So thank you, Steve.
Classico.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. He's a magician. With the pizza. Unbelievable. And a good dude. Yes.
And he's Italian. Actually, he's Italian. So
there it is. Yes. Good. Well, there it is. That alone.
There you go. That alone.
Thank you, Steve. You're the man,
thank
buddy.
Thank you, Steve. Very much. Thank you. Is that the first time he's ever chimed in? I don't recognize the name at all.
I don't think he's chimed. He watches every week. I don't think he's chimed in. He doesn't usually watch live. He watches the replay.
No. Thank you, Steve. Obviously, he's watching live tonight. So that's good stuff. We get a lot. Dude, we're making big money out of this damn thing. People send in all kinds of
cards. Unbelievable.
Yeah. Okay. People are trying to pay for my next round of golf. They just keep sending stuff. So.
Daniel Jones.
Daniel. Jerry, how could you not be encouraged?
Right.
He's got a fire about him. He's got the beard going back. He's jumping in pile, fighting. We don't want to see that, but he's in there.
And he's getting better as camp goes along, right?
And I want to talk about something else. I put this on Twitter this morning. We all know what Malik is doing. And Malik, we can't wait to see him against the Vikings, right? In the regular season against these teams.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to come out and say right now that he's Odell-like in a way that I always said this about Odell. I said, show me the guy who could play press man and cover him one-on-one.
Right.
I never felt anybody could in his prime. Well, yep. We're hoping Malik gets to that point because right now he's showing that. He's showing that nobody could cover him in press man.
Yeah, I haven't heard you talk about anyone on the Giants since you covered Odell. So you would say, Jer, he is uncoverable.
Yeah. Odell, in my opinion, Odell in his prime, play press man on him, show me the guy that could actually stay with him. You know what I mean? Stay with him covered because you. So Malik is getting to that. He's not there yet. We'll see when the regular season starts. Okay. I'm not going to put Malik there yet. He's trending towards that though.
Yep.
Okay. That's all I've seen. I've been seeing this since May. Okay. With him. And now you're seeing it against other teams. So let's not forget this too, Jerry. I put this on Twitter this morning. Let's not forget Wandell Robinson.
Yeah.
Let's not forget.
Oh, no.
Jalen Hyatt.
My guy. That's the guy Chris, I'm most excited about Wandale. Excited.
Well, and let's not forget Darius Slayton.
Yep.
And then you got some veterans, McKenzie, Allen Robinson, and even Isaiah.
Yep.
You know, playing pretty good ball. Isaiah was good the other day in joint practice. He was making catches, so was Allen Robinson with the twos and all that stuff. But let's not forget those guys. Jalen Hyatt looks like he's going to take that leap from year one to year two.
Love it.
Wandale's 100% healthy, and he's going to be a weapon. Oh. You know, like we talked about. And he's showing it. Why I'm saying this again, everybody, is because he's on the field showing it.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not saying this, hey, Jerry, Wandell's going to be a weapon. Meanwhile, I don't find him any proud. Like, what the hell is Wandell? I mean, he's not even being targeted. Because then I'll be talking out of my asshole.
Right.
I mean, like, Jerry, watch Wandell. Meanwhile, I'm there every practice, mostly every practice. And where the hell's Wandell? He's not even making a catch. No.
Right.
He's doing it on the field in practice, joint practices. He'll probably, I don't know if he's going to get reps tomorrow night. He might not. But anyway, and he's, you know, he's 100%. So I don't want to forget about these guys because they're having very strong camps too. Jalen vertical, right?
Right.
Jalen, some those 15-yard outs, the seven routes, the crosses with Jalen, he's going to be a weapon too, man. It'll, you know, but Daniel's there playing confident.
Yeah.
I see it in Daniel. He's playing confident, you know, obviously the knee is fine.
And it seems like even the way you're talking about him, like at first you were like up and down. And now it seems like you said, there's more confidence and he's hitting receivers better. So that is encouraging, right? The offensive line, Daniel, these weapons, it's so encouraging, man. I think that's why I'm so psyched, man. Go ahead.
Yeah, because they have weapons. Theo Johnson, this tight end, Theo Johnson, you know?
Who you hope wins, right?
The tight end?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would like to see Theo Johnson, you know? And I don't want you to forget about Lawrence Cager. Right now he's out with the hamstring. You know, and obviously Bellinger.
Yep.
But Theo Johnson's the guy you want to see, you know, you want to see him emerge. And Dable has plans for him, like I've been saying all along, you know?
Yep.
And now you also, I want to talk about, you've seen the Brian Dable influence.
Yeah.
Him calling plays, him tweaking. Okay. Him doing.
All right, Chris, you know what? Let's take a break and come back with that. All right, guys, you're listening to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Froehlich and Chris Bisignano. Hang on 1 second. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Froehlich and Chris. Nobody beats the biz. Bisignano. Go ahead, dude.
Yeah, you see what Dable's doing. Yep. You know, he's getting very creative.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Dable is a... Look, we were with Dan Campbell the other day. And Dan came right out and, by the way, I was talking to a couple of Detroit Lion beat guys and their PR guys. And man, it must be a friggin' pleasure to cover this guy every day. He's great, Dan Campbell.
Right.
He's great. You saw him in a press that day. He's like, he just says it like it is. You know, Dan is Dan, you know, and he came out and he said, you know, Brian Dable is one of the best offensive minds I've ever seen. He's got a great offensive mind. The stuff he used to come up with and this and that. And, well, Dable needs the horses. He needs the offensive line. But
that's got to kill him when you don't have a line to call those plays. Go ahead.
All right. Yeah. So he's hoping to get that line this year. And you're seeing it in camp. You saw it against the Lions. You're going to see it against the Jets probably in a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
You know, and Dan mentioned one, and I saw it. And I know exactly what he's talking about because I've seen Dable do this numerous times in camp.
Right.
Dan goes, it's so great playing against Dable because you could work on a lot of things with your defense. He goes, as a matter of fact, he goes, you know, he was an 11 and he's got two backs. He's got a back. He's got a fullback in a backfield. He's got a, you know, because he'll line up Bellinger behind, you know, and he'll line up Bellinger in the, you know, with Singletary.
Right.
And he's got three receivers on the field.
That's awesome. Yeah.
I mean, this is little tweaks that Dable loves to do. This is what people talk about with him.
Yeah.
But it's such a creative offensive mind. And it's his show now, Jerry. He's calling the plays. He's coming up with different things with these weapons. You can see he's like a mad scientist, Dable.
Right.
He's come up with all kinds of stuff. You know what I mean? Different formations. You've seen a lot of 12 personnel out there.
Yeah.
With Malik on the field. And that's what Brian does. You know, and he's doing it. You see it in camp. You see it in his formations. You see the way he's calling plays. And I said, what? I said, dude, what he wants his identity to be is vertical. That's what he wants. Well, Jerry, what are you seeing the last few weeks?
Yeah, throwing the ball down the field now.
Throwing the effing ball down the field.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
That's what he wants. You play to your strength. Well, his strength is the receiver room. These guys can fly.
Yeah.
You know? The slowest guy is Wandell Robinson, and trust me, he's not slow.
Yeah, he's the slowest. Yeah, that's right. Holy shit. Come on, man. My God, John.
Toronto.
It's humbling, guys. It really is. Like, you guys are, this is awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, man.
Biz, put towards your golf or lunch with Jerry. That's so nice.
I appreciate it, man. Hey, John, DM, do me a favor. DM after the show. DM and tell me where you're from and stuff, bro. All right, John? I think you did last week or something like that. But, John, you know, just DM. I really appreciate $50. I mean, that's insane, bro. That's
awesome.
That's insane, man. So
nice.
I appreciate it, you know. And, Well, you know what? New York Revival, you know, our boys over in New York Revival, I know it's practice, but this offense has me excited. Well.
Same here, guys.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing. It's like when you're going against another team, like the Lions, and you see some of the good things they did. I guess you guys were there. I'm sure they were there. It's like a little bit more of a practice, right? You're facing against the Lions. You say, okay, this is like a next step up a little bit from the practice. Obviously, it's not a game, but all that.
Yeah.
So you get excited because they didn't get their butts whipped, Jerry.
Right.
They didn't get that. They were making plays.
Right.
On offense, you know? On defense. Well, they played pretty good in the red zone. Isaiah Simmons had a nice play. A couple of nice plays in the red. I guess now they had some issues on the back end. What we're starting to see, okay, the first day, see what happened, Jerry. You could stay on one field, whatever field you want to cover. So I wanted to see Malik against the Lions defense and Jones.
Yeah. I would imagine. Yeah, I can imagine why. Yes. Yeah,
so I stayed on the offensive side. So I missed the Lions first one's offense against the Giants 1D.
Yeah.
I was on what you can't, obviously you can only stay on one side of the field. You can only see one thing. But I hear yelling. I see Okereke had the interception, the blah, blah, blah.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So Jerry, you know, they had issues. I did see guys running free sometimes on the Lions. I saw one big play. I think Jamison Williams had a big play. So they had some communication issues on the back end. Whenever you see a guy running on a nine route or vertical or deep post and he's all alone, obviously there's a communication issue. Now, this is what
let me ask you one thing. Were some of them because there was a blitz and they stopped? Like,
Jerry, I wasn't watching that. Sorry, right. I don't.
Because I saw one of them where Isaiah Simmons shot in like a cannon and he just tapped him. And then the guy was
wide open. That wouldn't count. That would have been
a sack. Right. Okay. All right.
But I know they had a few legit big plays that the Giants
That's fine.
Broke down in communication. Because I found out afterwards, like, what happened in this play? What happened? Oh,
okay.
Well, Flott looks like a miscommunication with the safety, blah, blah, blah. Mm. And they had some big plays. So, day two, after Flott gave up a couple of big plays, which makes me believe the defense was on one page, the secondary.
Yeah.
And Flott was on another page.
Yeah.
Okay. Got beat a few times. And then my boy and your boy, the Fighting Irish, Nick McLeod, started working his way in with the ones.
Good.
So I think now the competition is on.
Yeah.
where the beginning, first 3 weeks of camp, it was Flott's job to lose. And I'm not saying he lost it. I'm just saying that Nick is like that horse, you know, in the last quarter mile here. Here he comes. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And he's getting reps with the ones. I believe you will see him tomorrow. And I believe, I could be wrong in this. I don't know. Dable doesn't give away.
No, anything. Stars. Anything.
Anything.
Right.
But I'd be interested. It'd be interesting to see if Flott and McLeod go back and forth tomorrow night, you know, with the one. Getting snaps. If Flott doesn't play at all tomorrow night, then he's still the number one guy, and okay, they're not going to play their starters. I think you're going to see Flott and Nick playing tomorrow night. I think the competition is on. Everybody raves about Nick McLeod and what he's
doing.
They
should. They should.
The coaches, the players. Flott, too. Don't get me wrong. Flott's had some very good practices. He's really come on.
Yeah.
I think something happened the other day with communication. And that you're going to see Nick McLeod here competing for this spot.
Before I make my comment, JJN300, thanks, man. Again, overwhelmed by you guys. You guys are the best. Yes. Unbelievable.
Yes.
When this all started, Chris, when camp started and I was like, we don't know who our second corner is, I would pencil in McLeod. Like, I don't care who starts. I trust the coaching staff. I don't have a vested interest in rooting for one over the other. But I just like Nick McLeod. I feel more secure with him. I like that he's very versatile. It's almost like the guy, like he's the player that you're forgetting about. Not you, but a lot of people are forgetting about. But you could do a lot worse at second corner position than Nick McLeod. I think by the time the season starts, it would not stun me if he was the second corner on this team.
I agree with you 100%, bro.
Yep. Yep.
And I tell you, a guy who has taken over the slot.
Yeah, your boy. Yeah.
A kid that, I mean, was going toe-to-toe with guys the other day. Drew Phillips.
Yeah.
He is playing some solid football, man. And talk about tough. You talk about tough. This guy was throwing haymakers with no helmet on the other day in the freaking Lions. This kid is here to play football. Drew Phillips is here to play football.
I love that they drafted people like this, Chris. I got to be honest with you. Even when neighbors ran back and, like, shoved the corner, I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah. Look, Jerry, about the fights, right? You like to see them stick up for each other. Now, what's crazy with this? Okay, this is going to have to stop now. But yes, it was getting crazy. But you like to see them going toe for toe. You like to see them punching back. I saw Nacho. I saw Thibodeau. No helmet. I seen Joe Shane jumping from the sideline.
Yeah. What the hell was that?
I mean, I saw guys with not helmets right in the middle of it.
Yeah.
I saw Greg Van Roten. By the way, I wrote, Jerry, it was so freaking hot the other day. My brain was frying. I think I wrote Van Groten like three times.
Yeah, that's so funny.
It was so freaking hot. Yeah. You know, so Greg Van Roten, I said, bottom of the pile, he's kicking. And there goes Daniel. Daniel's jumping right in for him. Now, do we want to see the quarterback? No, of course not, right? You start the quarterback. But Jerry, deep down inside, do you like it? I do.
I love it. Chris, we said it. You know what? Before I make my comment, I gotta shout out Mark Thompson now. Thank you, man.
Thank
my
you, God. Mark.
And he's saying, we'll answer this in a second. Let me just make my point first. I'm going to leave this up, so we'll get to that. Remember a few years ago when Kadarius Toney really just tried to fight everyone in Dallas and he got kicked out of the game?
Yeah.
And you and I said, yeah, you can't do that, but I kind of like it. That's what it reminded me a little bit. Like, and again, if there was one thing Kadarius Toney did well, it was fighting back at least.
Right.
And it reminded me of that. It's like, yeah, I'm okay with all the fighting. I like it. I'm okay. I'm a hockey guy. I like it. I don't like Joe Shane and Daniel Jones getting involved, but I still like Daniel Jones getting involved. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. In practice, right?
Right.
Now, can we have this in games where guys are throwing punts? No. And you won't see it in games. I mean, once in a while, you guys are losers. Cool. Don't get me wrong. But obviously, we're not going to see it. Both teams, it's practice. Both teams were unloading. I didn't think there was going to be any fights in day two. Usually, it's day two is the quiet one after day one to get it out of us. And then day two was just as bad. Yeah. They had to stop practice, right?
Right, right.
So, yeah, I mean, you can't do that in games. And they expressed that numerous times, right?
Yeah, yep.
But for a heated practice in August,
for
a team that kind of smacked them around a little bit last year, you like to fight. You know, you like to
love
fight.
It.
As far as football, well, Jerry, you like to see them going toe for toe, making plays defensively and offensively. Did they have some bad things they have to clean up? Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But we both, coming off the field, you were like, okay, it was about even. They made plays. Giants made plays. Nobody embarrassed anybody. Nobody looked at it and go, wow, this team is so much better. You know, and all that stuff.
Yeah.
So it was good. It was a very good 2 days for the Giants. I think psych-wise, especially for Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole organization was looking forward. I'm including Shane, the scouts, Tim McDonald, everybody looking forward to watching Malik against competition.
Yeah.
And everybody walked away those 2 days saying, holy shit, this kid is a stud. And look, Jerry, Sean Marash from WFAN was there Monday.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was talking with him. We was talking about Malik. Yeah, you know, first time I'm seeing him up close, he was. And I told him, like I told you, Jerry, and I've been saying this on the podcast, I don't get excited, very excited about rookies and shorts. But Jerry, you know, I've said this from day one. Dude, I can't help myself. I'm sorry.
Sure.
I'm getting excited, and I'm not going to apologize for it, you know?
Right, right.
Well, dude, any fans, I think now, that said, hey, I think Chris is freaking losing his mind. Don't get that excited, Chris. What are you out of your mind? What are you getting? You're getting old. You know, now you're getting excited with a receiver. Oh, come on, he has a play. I think people now are like, man, now I know what the hell he's talking about, you know?
Yeah.
Especially people that went to camp this summer, Jerry.
Right.
There's been a lot of people there at training camp. They saw the 2 days. Excuse me. They saw the two joint practice, and people were like, holy crap, this kid Neighbors is insane.
Yeah, and look, if he ends up being as good
look
as we
this
think.
Money we are getting. Thank you, Thomas. Oh, my God.
Oh, another one. Oh, my God. All right. Oh, my God, guys. Oh. This is. Again,
thank
humbling.
You very much, Thomas. I don't, you know what? Some of these people who are contributing tonight, these are like first timers. I don't recognize the names, so I really appreciate
well.
It.
Well,
how many people we have on?
Right now, over 600. Mark Thompson had a question with his, and then it was funny. His next comment was, "Hi Tuto, it's my first super chat. I had to get a VPN to do it. Can't do it straight from Barbados. Good for you in Barbados. Oh, nice job,
from
Mark.
Barbados. Nice. Oh,
thank you. So, listen, let's get his question in now. How does Kafka fit into the mix? Is he taking over some of Dable's head coaching duties, thus freeing Dave up? Dave's clearly has a different rhythm.
Yeah, no, he's not taking over any of his head coaching duties. He's part of the game plan.
Yeah. You know,
except he's not calling plays. It looks like he's going to be up in the booth. Okay. Yeah. And he'll call down to Dable what he's seeing during games. It's all about the communication process. Dable, he says it all the time. I need my coaches. Communication is key, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, no, exactly. He's not taking over any head coaching duties from him.
Right.
But he is going to be part of the game plan when they game plan for opponents and what he sees during the game. He's going to relay that down to Dave's because – trust me what I'm telling you. You know, staying on those sidelines, you miss a lot, man.
Yeah.
You know, so that's why you have coaches up at the booth, guys at the start, all that stuff. And that's going to be Mike's duties. You know, Mike is a very big part of this. It's just that Dable's going to call the plays.
Yeah.
Okay, but Mike is a big part of game planning, too. He will be all year.
And now a non-first-timer, someone who chimes in every week, donated as well. Next time Tuto's in Princeton, we need him to stop by the training facility and give DJ some tips on how to scrum. We don't want DJ scrumming.
No, and we don't want DJ scrumming, Bill.
And Bill, thank you again. Thank you,
thank
guys.
You, man.
Really humbling. Yeah, dude, listen, I was going to say before with Neighbors, it was clear that was the guy Dable wanted if you watched Hard Knocks. I mean, it was so evident that no matter what anyone else thought, Dave was like, no, that's the guy. He's a dog. That's the guy.
Yeah.
And it's great if it works out because you're seeing, that his instincts were right. Right. And you just hope that, you know, receivers, look, the facts are they become divas right after a while. It's the biggest diva position in the league. But I like that I have a coach in Dable with him rather than Coughlin and Beckham, if that makes sense, right?
I agree. I know where you're going with this.
You know what I mean? Like Beckham was ridiculous. His head got huge and, you know, things didn't work out in the long run, right? But Dable can relate to Neighbors a little better, right? He's just younger and it's just, that's the guy he wanted. I like that aspect of it. So I'm putting a lot of trust in Dable here. And it's being validated based on everything, you're reporting from camp. So.
Jerry, it's not just me. Dude, you see it. You see the highlights. You see what the hell's going on. You know?
Yeah.
You're going to have to wait to week one. I don't know how much Malik is going to play in his preseason.
That's interesting. Okay.
For people who haven't been at camp, you know, whatever, you're going to have to wait to the Minnesota game with the whole nation. Everybody, you know, can see it. But,
yeah.
Dude, on defense, look, Brian Burns, Jerry, he was in the backfield a lot.
Yeah.
Against the Lions. He would have had about 3 or 4 TFL to tackle for losses.
And now, you know, in practice, I know, again, it's different, but how does Thomas hold up against him?
Very well.
Yeah.
I beat a few times, but he basically holds up well.
Because when Thomas came, real quick, I don't want to get to Thomas, but I got to mention this. When he came around on that one play where he blasted the guy on the line.
Arnold. Yeah.
Yeah, dude, Arnold. He blasted him. I was
right in front of me, man.
He looked so fast running out there. I probably would have shit my pants. I'd be like, oh my God. Yeah. He's coming
right. I tell you, dude, I was standing right there and I saw him. It's the old pin and pull, it's called. He pulls out and he was coming right my way. And I saw that collision happening.
Yeah.
And I saw Arnold come in and then go like this lower. He knew he was going to get. And Andrew went boom. You know, that's all you heard. And by the way, about 5 minutes later, right in front of him, Arnold left. He went to the locker room. I don't know.
Okay. Wow.
He's all right. I think he came back out for week day two. But he got Andrew. I was just like, oh my God. We all of us just saw that developing.
Yeah, right.
And it was like, holy crap, you know.
Right, right.
You know, people forget because Andrew's such a good pass pro guy now, right? But he gets to that second level on the running plays, Andrew. He could get to that second level, man.
Yeah, blasting people.
And he could play.
But he's holding up well against Burns for the most part.
Yes.
Huh?
Oh, you want to talk about that old phrase, Jerry? You know, iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
That we talk about a lot. It's used up. I know it's used a lot and all that shit. But that's a prime example.
True.
That is a prime example. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thibodeau too. Nice work. You know, against both Penny Sewell and Taylor Decker. Got some work in. Dex did some good things. You know, Bobby. Second day, like I said before, got to tighten up some stuff, a little bit of a concern, right?
Yep.
I thought they did pretty good in running plays. You know, there's only so much you could see, but you could kind of see they get a stop. You know, they're not driving a guy to the ground, but you could see the stop. They kind of hold well. They put the show a little physical. But Jerry, I got to be honest with you, bro. Mm. That joint scrimmage Monday was so intense.
Yeah.
It was so physical that it was like sometimes you looked at it like, man, these guys are really going at it. They were, I mean, a lot of times, Jerry, one time Eric Gray got blown up, man, on a play. He lost his helmet. And I'm like, that's what kind of got it going too, man, after that. And it was like, holy shit, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They were going at it. Because look, Dan Campbell brings the heat. You know the way Dan is, you know, and his teams are going to be physical. I think Brian Daboll this whole season says, hey, you know what? I want to bring the heat more. You know, I got to kick it up here. We got to toughen this organization up. We got to toughen this up. You know, so there's another new guy, Jan 300.
No, that was the guy before. He gave before.
Okay, I'm sorry. Oh, okay. Thank you very much, man.
Yeah, and then Tuto again. Yeah, so please tune in for our season opener on August 16th, 6 a.m. Sky Pro Rugby Live. You know what? I'm going to try to. Send us the link on that. If there's a link, I don't know how to do that, right? Send a link. I'll try to do that. I want to see this monster. I think it's this, you know, this. I keep saying he superimposes my body, the Savage as F picture. But we'll do that.
Yeah.
Real quick, Chris, someone brought up a point. I want to give them credit because I don't want to miss it. All right, Richie M. That's the only concern I have right now on offense.
Yeah.
That's a concern, right? Shoulder issue on a center. Yeah.
Damn, he's missed 8 straight practices.
Man.
Van Roten's taking the snaps with the ones.
If say it's a longer term thing and it's Van Roten, do you see them trying to bring in another guard instead of going with Stinney? Or bringing in a center and putting Van Roten to guard? Will they bring in someone else, I guess is my question.
I don't think they will. I think they'll go with Stinney, Van Roten, obviously Runyon. You know, and they got a Zudu behind them. You know, I know he's a tackle too. Zudu, they got playing both, but look, I guess it's possible. You know,
yeah,
but I don't know what's going on with Schmitz. You know, it's just getting concerning now.
It is concerning.
You know, it's getting very concerning because you know Dable's not going to tell you anything. You know,
no, and the guys, the revival has the extent of Neal's injury. You know,
look, this is a situation with Evan Neal where we were kind of told in the spring that he's going to be ready for camp.
Right.
Well, here we are 3+ weeks in, and he's not ready yet.
Yeah.
I mean, all I could tell you, I wish I could tell you, but they don't tell us much, is that I see Evan walking. He's on the side. He's working on the side a lot. And he looks like, I guess he could be close. He could be within the next week or so. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know?
All right, dude. We're going to take one more break. Before we do that, guys, I want to read you something. Rounding third base. 8-year-old Dalton's leg began to hurt. despite over 3 years of treatment, including chemo, an amputation, and multiple clinical trials and surgeries, Dalton, or D, passed away at 12 years old from cancer. His parents and Giant fans, Jen and Will, formed Defeat Cancer to help discover targeted treatments and help kids like Dalton and the 16,000 American kids diagnosed with cancer each year. 100% of donations to Defeat Cancer directly fund pediatric cancer research. Please help us at www.defeatcancer.org. That's www.defeatcancer.org. Thanks, guys. And thanks. I got good news from Will. The traffic is up. He's gotten more donations. He got a big donation in Maine. So if it's you guys doing it, you're the best, really. I mean, unbelievable. So if you can't give, just pray for them and pray for what they're doing, because they are freaking good people, man. Yeah. All right, guys.
We'll thank you, everybody who's been contributing, man.
No. Yeah, it's incredible. Incredible. It's
incredible, man.
We'll be back after this, guys. You listen to the Giant Insider Podcast. Hang on. And we're back. Folks, listen to the Giant Insider Podcast with Jerry Foley and Chris. Nobody beats the biz, Bizignano. Of course you did, Bill, because you're a good guy. Sent them a little something. Yeah, absolutely. You guys are the best. All right. I just wanted to touch on one more thing on the offense. I'm kind of going all over the place because I'm kind of excited about how this team's going to be 11-6 now, Chris. Jalen.
Division champs?
Maybe. What are we talking about? Maybe not yet, Chris. Maybe not yet. But Jalen Hyatt, you said he's taking that next step. Is it his route running? What is it?
It's everything. Yeah. Strength. The strength.
Okay.
Strength. I like it. You know, I think he's a little crisper on a route. I think he's, you know what it is, Jerry, too? He just knows the offense more. He just knows. He's very comfortable now in the offense. Last year, I didn't think he was very comfortable at times.
Yeah.
And when you're not comfortable, Jerry, you don't play fast, you know? Yeah. When you're comfortable, you play fast. And we all know how fast he is. And you're not just, and Jerry, I see a lot of those outs. I saw a dig route the other day with Jalen. I saw the deep cross. You know, it's not just going to be, okay, let's just run a 9-route vertical go.
Right.
No, it's going to be different. He's going to get his snaps. It's going to be Darius, Wandell, and, of course, Malik at first. But Jalen's going to be in the mix. You know, Jalen's going to be in the mix. I think he's going to really help them this year. I like what he's doing in year two.
Who's the fastest of the three? I know you said Wandell's the slowest, and he's not slow. Who do you think's the fastest of the three? Is it Hyatt?
Oh, I still go with Hyatt, yeah. Still go with Hyatt. The fastest guy in the team might be Dante Miller.
Oh, right, like Turbo,
I would love to see him and Jalen Hyatt in a race. That kid Miller could fly, you know?
That's another position, right? Yeah. Like, yes, we lost Saquon, but man, if we shouldn't get excited about this because, I mean, Tyrone Tracy, everyone's talking on him too.
You see him working in. It looks like they want him to be that number two, you know? And Miller's done some good things too, you know?
Yeah.
And Everett Gray, he's in the mix too, but I just think Jerry, when you look at Tyrone Tracy, you know, what he could do, very versatile, man, you know? Good receiver out in the backfield. I like the way he's picking up some pass pro with the blitz, you know?
Yeah.
Looks like he could run a little bit. You know, he can run. You look at him the other day and you say, well, you see what they're thinking, right? And you look at him, he's going to get, you know, you're going to see him tomorrow night.
Yeah.
You're going to see Gray, you know? You're going to see Turbo Miller.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think right now, you know, I think it's right there, Gray and Tracy. If I had to lean one way, I think Tyrone's that number two right now. Because he could do that, you know, he's a weapon out of the backfield, man.
It'll be interesting to see how exciting he is, and then will he eventually be split, you know, by the end of the season. I'm getting way ahead of myself, but the talk about him, the way you've talked about him, the way Tiki Barber's talking about him.
Tiki's talking about Tyrone Tracy?
Tiki Barber loves Tyrone Tracy.
Oh, okay. I did not know that. Okay,
yeah,
cool.
No. Yeah. It's like...
Tiki knows.
Well, I mean, it's funny, man. There's a lot to be excited about. Again, it's preseason, but man, there's some positions here where, you know, wide receiver, running back, you know, that you can really start getting excited about. And if the line can hold up, as we keep saying, it's saying it forever. Yeah, line holds up.
And why we have this little enthusiasm today, Jerry, is why you're very enthusiastic and why I came on the show, right, and saying, hey, a lot of good things, is because Daniel has looked pretty good. You know what I mean?
Right.
And he had some up and down practices.
Right.
Being a camp, no question about it. But when you see him against a team like the Lions and making a lot of good decisions, and they see him last couple of practices before the Lions, making, you know, playing well, that's creates that enthusiasm. You know, that gets that enthusiasm going. It's like, oh, well, okay, well, we just had two joint practices against the Lions, and freaking Daniel looked pretty good. He had two good days. So now you say to yourself, oh, okay. You know what I mean? Yeah. That gets you pumped up. Now, of course, we know it could come out week one and Daniel looks horrible. A couple of picks, bad pick decision. We understand that. Me and Jerry understand that, you know. But we're just, you know, reporting what we're seeing, and it's a very positive 2 days for Daniel. And Jerry, I mean, unless I'm mistaken, I don't think anybody between me and all the media, I don't think anybody put out there that, oh, Daniel was just okay for 2 days, right? I think everybody.
No, not at all. Everyone was like, no,
I think
he was
everybody
really good.
Put out that Daniel was had a very good 2 days.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, I'm seeing these comments and I lost my train of thought. I had a point to make. Shoot, that's what happens. Oh, defensively, Chris, are they going to play a lot of nickel? Like, are they going to have, like, because it seems like it's three down linemen, three linebackers, and then it's going to be Drew Phillips in there. Like, is their base defense going to be nickel? Or because I'm trying to think if they're lining up four on the line, it's Burns. Is it Burns, Thibodeau, Dexter Lawrence, and then Nacho, right?
Their base defense will probably be Dex, Nacho, and either Jordan Riley.
Okay. So he's the other one.
That'd be their base. Right.
That's what I'm trying to... Okay, that's what I was trying to figure out. Okay.
Right. And then you got Burns and Tibbs, you know, and then you got the two linebackers.
So when
thing they're going to do, though, with Shane Bowen, is that if the team comes out, three receivers, right?
Right.
First down, they're going to have that nickel. And Isaiah is going to be that nickel.
Oh, Simmons. My God. Wow. That's really going to happen, huh? All right.
And then they want kind of like on passing situations, they want Isaiah on the field too. You know what I mean? So that's what they've been doing. And then second and third down and 11 personnel, you got Drew Phillips in the slot.
Right. Okay. Because that's what I'm trying to figure out how this is all going to play out.
That's what he's been showing, Shane Bowen.
Yeah. All right.
You know, that's what he's been showing.
Okay.
The base, like that first down base, you're going to see a lot of times you'll see, you know, Dex, Jordan Riley say, by the way, Jordan Phillips, and I predicted this. I said, guys, don't get excited about Jordan Phillips.
No, you said that. Yeah.
He's been with the threes now. I don't think Jordan Phillips is making his team. I don't. You know, okay. Mm-hmm. But you look at those three down, you know, and then, you know, then obviously Tibbs and Burns, and then the two linebacker, and then they go nickel, you know, Isaiah at first down. That's what he's been showing. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like Shane Bowen wants Isaiah on the field a lot, Jerry. Isaiah Simmons.
He's a playmaker. I'm glad. Get him out there. Figure it out. I just don't know if I love him in the slot, but I got to trust him. Okay. I have to trust them. Again, he's one of those guys that does everything pretty well.
Yeah. I don't like him. I'd be attacking him right off the bat if I saw him at a slot. You know what I mean?
Exactly. So, right. That's what my concern is.
Well, we'll see. We'll see as we move along, Jerry, what they're thinking more, you know, and Shane Bowen admitted that. He goes, I want Isaiah out there nickel. Then I want him out there in third down pass situations. And you know, and Drew Phillips is going to be out there in the slot. He's won that job. Okay.
Yeah.
Jerry, like you said, we talked earlier in this podcast. It wouldn't surprise me. First game of the year, you know, Drew's that slot guy, and Nick McLeod is that outside guy with Banks, you know?
Good. Yes. Yes.
You know?
Now, is Dane Belton still fending off Tyler Newbin?
He is right now. Yeah. Newbin lost some valuable time, Jerry, when he was out.
Okay. All right.
And what happens is when you lose that valuable time and a guy in front of you is playing really well, you need a lot of catching up to do to catch him now.
Yeah.
Now, there's still these 3 weeks are crucial. Started with the Lions, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're going to see Tyler out there tomorrow a lot, obviously, you know. Now, am I saying he won't be the other safety alongside Pinnock first game? I'm not going to say that yet, but he's behind, Jerry.
Yeah.
Dane Belton's got that spot right now, you know. So
Dane Belton season, baby. Love Dane Belton.
So, and we look at Dane, right, and we don't say anything to say, well, you know what, he's just holding that for Tyler because Dane's doing this, he's not doing this.
Right.
No, he's playing good football right now.
No, right, right. And again, good football. Always finds the ball. Seems to always find the ball, Dane Belton.
Yeah.
Real quick, the return game, right? It's between McKenzie and Gunner, right? Right now?
Oh, I think Gunner's got the punt return job.
All right, good. Okay.
You're talking about the punt return?
I
think he's got the punt return.
All right, because he's going to be the last receiver kept because of that. Right. So I was just wondering where they were leaning there. And so you're saying it's Gunner. Okay.
Oh, I think Gunner's got the punt return. That's no question. He's got the punt. Now, the question is going to be, Jerry, the kickoffs.
Mm.
which comes into play now.
Sure.
So you got, you know, Tyrone Tracy, you got McKenzie back there. You know, we'll see. You get a little feel tomorrow what they're thinking.
But I don't think they'll keep my thing is I don't think they'll keep McKenzie and Gunner. I think it's one of the others.
This year, Dave's kept seven receivers.
That's a good point. All right.
Don't rule that out. Right. Well, you got the four definites, you know.
Right.
And then you got the battle. You got
Allen Robinson, right?
Just specialty.
Allen Robinson and McKenzie. And Hodgins. Eight. That's eight.
You know, Gunner, you kind of like, forget about the receiver crap with Gunner. I know he's listed as a
But he's on the team because for a punt return.
He's on a turn for special teams. You know what I mean? Right. But then you're going to see the McKenzie, Allen Robinson's, Isaiah. Look, Isaiah's had some good reps too, man.
Yeah.
You know? I think last year, Dave's, if I remember right, he kept seven receivers. Because I had him down for six. He kept seven.
Okay.
I thought that was messed up. He kind of made me look like an idiot there. I didn't like
that. Right. No, he shouldn't do that. Yeah.
No, you can't do that, Dave. So anyway, you know, he kept the seven and we'll see what he does this year. You know, but Gunner, I kind of look at, he's, you know, I know he's WR/.
But he's locked in as a punt returner.
Locked in as a punt returner. That's what Gunner's there for. You know, so, and now we're going to see who wins that kickoff return because guys will be returning kicks.
Well, it'll be between Gunner and Eric Gray, right? Punt returning.
I was on delay there. Yeah. I was like, is this guy nuts? Yeah. No. Jerry, but as a matter of fact, I have not seen Eric Gray one time returning punts.
He's got to stay away from it. Got to stay away.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So, that's what's going to be, that's Gunner's job. Well deserved, too. He should be the PR guy.
Good question from Deb Ellis. Do you think the Giants keep three quarterbacks on the roster? That's a good question.
No, I think DeVito will be released and he'll try to get through waivers and go into practice squad. Now, whether or not somebody signs him, that's a whole other story.
Yeah.
If you think they're going to keep three on the 53, absolutely not. Nuts? No way.
Right. You think it'll be locked though? That's the backup. Okay.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I think so. Yeah. I think Tommy's going to have to go through waivers.
Yeah.
And like Tommy even said, DeVito even said, he goes, well, don't be so sure I'll be back here. Somebody might sign me, you know?
Yeah.
So.
Any other camp updates, bud, that we didn't touch on? I think I tried to ask you everything I wanted to talk about and hear about.
So. You tell me, I'm trying to think of anything else.
I expect him to be active. I expect him to be just status quo, just stud.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, Deontay Johnson's had a nice camp as a linebacker, you know, behind McFadden and Bobby, you know, it. You know, he's had a nice camp, you know. Hopefully he continues it. I'm kind of wary when he's just like one of those camp guys, beginning of camp guys, comes out of the gate flying and then boom, that's the end of that, you know. So he'll get a lot of work in tomorrow night. You know, some positions, backup, some depth positions have to be settled still, you know.
Yeah.
Aziz will get work tomorrow night.
He's the forgotten guy by me, man. I forget about him all the time.
You know, you got him and Boogie behind Tibbs and Burns, you know.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to get some more. Tamon Fox is out. He's still injured. So Boogie's been getting a lot of reps. And obviously Aziz. Jerry, Aziz is a guy I could see getting a lot of reps tomorrow and having like three sacks against the Lions backup offensive line or something.
Totally.
I could see him going off tomorrow.
I could see it too.
He's a good player. Jerry, look.
All about health. All about health.
He's a good player, dude. He's a good player.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't – one little surprise. I thought you would see a little bit more of – the Tibbs, Burns, Aziz package. Maybe Aziz on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Mix it up a little bit like we used to do with Tuck. You know, maybe
NASCAR.
Maybe package. Tibbs over that three technique.
Yeah, right.
Aziz outside, you know, that kind of look. You know what I mean? I haven't seen that. You know, we'll see if Shane Bowen is thinking about that down the road, but it doesn't seem like he's thinking about that. You know, Aziz is on the outside. So,
all right, dude. Good stuff. All right. Want to get to the next 10 on the list?
Yeah.
We're 55 minutes in. Almost 800 watching, guys. Thank you so much. And again, thanks for the donations. It's humbling, to say the least.
Yes.
What
is this, 50 to 41, Jerry?
50 to 41, number 50. Ray Flaherty. All right. Numbers retired. Played in the 30s. 1934 champion. Bob Papa dropped some knowledge. I did not know this on that on their show about these guys, that his number was the first retired in NFL history by any team. Yeah, wow. Ray Flaherty, and he's number one, which is amazing.
That's amazing, man. I did not know that. Wow.
Yeah,
unbelievable.
And And also, his idea was the sneakers game in 1934, guys. It was his idea to play in sneakers. You can look that one
right
up.
There, you should have his number of his tie.
There it is. That alone. Yeah. 49, never saw him play, but I remember the patch. And my father would say, all they had was Spider, Mendenhall, Gregory. And that was it. Spider Lockhart. Spider Lockhart.
Yeah. I remember him when I was a little kid. Very little, I remember him, but I remember him.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He was a good player, Spider. Yeah. I had a poster of him. And one of my first posters was, believe it or not, was Spider Lockhart.
Yeah.
43, right, Jerry? What's his number? If I remember right.
Yep, 43. And
I'm not good on numbers, but I remember that guy.
He was Emlyn Tennell. No, I know.
Go ahead, Jerry. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say, Emlyn Tennell coached the Giants for a while, and he took him under his wing. And Emlyn Tennell's in the Mount Rushmore of Giants. So.
Yeah, great Giant, man. No, I don't have anything further on Boogie Basher, by the way. He did leave on a card yesterday.
Oh, I didn't even see that. Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. James O'Keefe. Number 48. I'll say this, Chris. What could have been. Still a good player, but what could have been Jeremy Shockey?
Yeah. Well, obviously a great tight end for the Giants. Didn't exactly end up the way we wanted it, but just a great man. Remember when he came on the scene? He was just running people over.
He was ridiculous. Dominating. And of course he traded up one spot to get him and gave up a fourth rounder in doing so. Like, that's how much he wanted him. He traded up one spot and gave up a fourth rounder. He's the guy we all wanted too. Like, they needed a tight end in the worst way in 2002, and they got him, and I was so excited. And then he had the Dawkins catch and the ridiculous rookie year. Good stuff. 47, Chris. Last week we had Dave Jennings on the list. This week, with all due respect to Dave Jennings, this punter made the all-decade team in the 80s and 90s. I did not know that. Sean Landetta.
Yeah, sure. Landetta, man, right?
Yep.
Two punters on this baby. How about that?
Unreal.
Yeah, Landetta, man, he was phenomenal, man. No question. Yeah, all decade team. Imagine that?
Yeah.
He was phenomenal, man. Jerry, that guy was probably the MVP when he beat the Redskins in 1986. In that championship game, it was so damn windy. And some of the balls, some of the punts he had in that game, man, it was incredible. He really earned his paycheck that day. Landetta was really good, man.
Bill Hartnett has three Shockey jerseys in his closet right now. That's awesome. Of course, Dan Flaherty, our Dan Mann, has to mention this because he's a guru, as you know, with Giants history. Flaherty also wore 6 at one point, and that's the only number to never be worn by any starting quarterback in Super Bowl history. Had that from my group chat earlier. Of course you did, Dan. Unbelievable.
Dan spitting knowledge.
Good it's stuff. Incredible.
Good stuff, Dan.
46. Again, what could have been a great player for us, but it ended too quickly. Plaxico Burress.
He
was dominating.
He was incredible in the 2007 season, man. And I'll say to this day, if Plax doesn't have that off-field incident with the firearm, the Giants win the Super Bowl in 08.
That is the second best team in team history, Chris.
They were better than the 07 team, dude.
Yes, they were. Better than the 07. I come ahead of
They were not a dominating team in 07.
Nope.
The Giants were a dominating team in 08.
Yeah, they were 9-1 when that happened, and they went to 10-1, and then they 12.
They were on their way.
Yep.
On their way. And, you know, Plax, look, what he did for Eli's game was incredible. Never forget the game Plax had against the Packers.
Oh, Al Harris. Weather. Yeah.
He looked like he was playing in 85-degree weather, Plax.
Yeah.
Destroying Al Harris.
Yeah.
11 catches, whatever it was. You better that me, Jerry. 11 catches.
I think it was 11 for 150 something or 160. It was a lot. I don't know if he broke the record in the playoffs for the Giants. I think Schaffner had it. But I remember the Packers announcer, Chris, saying, Al Harris must be cold because he's getting undressed.
Yeah. And Al Harris was a guy that took pride in playing man press, and like, he didn't think anybody could beat him.
Yeah.
And Plax destroyed him, you know.
And I remember Deion Sanders before that game said he won't be able to get Al Harris will shut him down. And after the game, Plax said, I heard what you said. I still remember that in that interview. He's like, nah, Deion, I heard what you said.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry, they were practically playing on an ice rink. You know what I mean? And just incredible what they were doing. Incredible what Eli did that day too. But Plax, you know, what a difference. One of the best free agent signings the Giants have ever had.
Yep. All right. 45, one of my favorites, Rodney Hampton. One of the best running backs in Giants history. Really had to, you know, he had a knee injury in college. When he first got to the Giants, he was a lot faster. And I remember his first carry was like an 89-yard run in preseason. And then he got that foot injury, I think it was late in the season in 90. He was the number one back in 90. And then Otis took over. But Rodney Hampton, dude, what a warrior. He absolutely carried the team when they were terrible. Yep. Had five straight 1,000-yard seasons. Guy was ridiculous, man. Loved him.
He was a great back. Very good back. Yeah, well-deserved for Rodney. Happy for Rodney. Rodney's a good dude, too, man. Real cool
Friend of the podcast.
Yeah, he's
podcast.
A real cool dude, Rodney. Everything's hey, man. Yep. He's a cool dude, so happy for him.
44, Jack Stroud, obviously never saw him play. Stud offensive lineman in the 50s, was on the 56 championship team. One of those guys my dad would say was great. 43, did you see this guy, Chris? Bob Tucker?
No, he was before my time.
Just before,
yeah.
Okay.
Just before my time, yeah. He was in the 60s, I believe, yeah.
One of the best receiving tight ends in the NFL at the time.
Yeah. Bob Tucker, yeah.
I interviewed him for The Insider, and one of the funniest things a Giant ever told me, he said, when Arnsparger came, he said he liked Alex Webster as head coach. And when Arnsparger came, it all went up in smoke. And then he said Arnsparger would run right on first down, run left on second down, and just to throw the defense off, he would run up the middle on third down.
Yeah, that's what Arnsparger was known for, man. Run up the middle, third down. It's incredible.
That was awesome. 42, first soccer-style kicker, the guy probably responsible for the AFL-NFL merger, Pete Gogolak.
Yep. Another great Giant, right? Great Giant.
Interviewed him years ago for The Insider. Really, really good.
Giants have had some great kickers, huh, Jerry?
Oh my God! There's so many that made the list,
including Pat Summerall. You know?
Yeah, right.
You know, they've had some great. If you think about it, Matt Balls. You know, they've had some great kickers, man.
Unbelievable. Yeah. And then 41, absolute stud. He was on our podcast as well. Bart Oates.
Yeah. Right. He's the guy that played. And yeah, USFL, right? And then play for the Giants the same season, Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. All those games, he remember he told us all those damn games in a row he had to play. He was a very tired young man at the end of that Super Bowl. He said it. I remember that. But Bart Oates, man. Very good center. Very smart, man. Just a smart freaking guy on the field, man.
Chris, so, does Joe Dinello make the list?
No, I know. No, Joe Dinello.
I know, I'm only kidding.
It's oh, okay. Yeah, no.
I remember the missing the kicks. You said missing the kicks in 81 against Dallas. Oh, you wanted to kill him.
My God. The hook nose. We used to call him the hook nose. You know?
Yeah.
Poor Joe. You know, I mean, there was so many F-bombs after that guy's name. Oh, my God. You know, but they did win that. So.
Ali Haji Sheik, probably not going to make the list. Funny story real quick. A buddy of mine, the owner of Crest Tavern in Wildwood Crest, texted me the other day and said, Ali Haji Sheik is here. And I said, that's an awfully weird name to make up in Giants history if you're trying to get me to go there and meet him. But he picked up some wine. It was down at the Jersey Shore, and it was Ali Haji Sheik.
He is a fan of the Giant Insider. He follows. He responds.
Yeah, right.
We go back and forth once about me and him.
Go Blue is his Twitter account.
Yeah, so. Yeah, good. So, Dinello has some good things, a lot of bad things. You know,
he said Dinello was 101. Ah, Richie, nice. Yeah. He was the 101st Giant. Yeah, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
There was a lot of 101s, Rich.
That's awesome. All right, good stuff, man.
Oh, but down to 41 on that list, huh?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I mean,
doesn't look like Lawrence Taylor is going to make it.
No. Carson, Banks, none of them. They're all going to miss the boat.
Yeah.
Anything else, dude?
No, so next week, looks like we'll talk about the preseason game, right? And then they'll have the second one the following Saturday against the Houston Texans.
Yeah.
So the Giants' schedule is that they will play tomorrow night against the Lions and a couple of days off, get back at it, a few days practice, and head down to Houston, you know?
Yeah.
You believe that, Jerry? The first preseason game is almost played already. Incredible, man. So.
Awesome.
Can't wait. It's going to be September 8th, right? It's amazing.
Yep. Couple things. I'll end on this, Chris. Eli from New York Revival texted me, and it just shows you the kind of people that, you know, these guys, we always say they're the good part of Twitter. You know, he says, how can we help Jen and Will Fox with their cause? Let's put our heads together. Like, you know, you get a text like that, it restores your faith in humanity. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I don't know. They're just good dudes. And to text me about that, Eli, I just want to give you a shout out that you're thinking about stuff like that. You're a good man.
Eli's a good dude, man.
Yeah. I mean, unbelievable. I don't know about Spiro, but Eli and Jeff, we like a lot, right?
Spiro's all good? I don't really know Spiro.
I'm just joking.
Oh, okay. I thought I was going to say, man, Spiro seems like a good dude.
No, he's a great guy. I'm just messing with him.
I don't know. You deal with him. I dealt with him a few days. Only I could tell you that Jeff.
Yeah.
Somebody made a wise-ass comment to him at some Giant Stadium the other day. One of the Giant training camp practices. And I don't know, something with a shirt. And he said something wise to Jeff. And I text Jeff. I said, dude, you should have took a baseball bat to that guy's freaking head. You know? And Jeff was that guy. He was old and something like that. He goes, I was thinking about us.
That's awesome.
They're funny guys, you know?
Yeah, they're good dudes.
They're good guys. Yeah, Spear was a good dude. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, he's a good dude.
Spear's got to stop thinking the Mets are going to make the playoffs. I mean, win the World Series.
Yeah, because up on our feet.
Spear's not happening with the Mets. Forget about it.
Every Mets thought that enters his head goes to Twitter. And it's like, oh, I'm glad to see how the Mets are doing. Thanks, Spear. I'm just messing with you, man. Yeah.
We have to work in that, Jerry, that Revival Us joint podcast, right?
Yeah,
we got to do that. We got to hook that up.
Yeah.
Live stream. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. And then just a shout out to someone who's been following us for a long time, had an absolute tragedy occur in her life.
Yeah.
Barb Ferrazzi, Florida Graham 5 is her Twitter. Lost her son over last weekend. Just unbelievable. Yeah, so.
She lost her husband a couple years ago, and who was a big fan of the Giant Insider.
She would send pictures of him reading the Insider from the hospital. Like, I mean, that's the thing, man.
You know? Rich, I don't live in North Jersey, but I know a lot of people with my accent. People think I live in North Jersey.
Yeah.
Well, I'm from North Jersey. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
No, I'm not in North Jersey. Not that far, but no, I'm not there. But as far as Bob, we're thinking about you, man. It just absolutely.
Yeah.
Devastating news, man. Yeah. Devastating news.
Yep.
So she was back on social media a little bit. She DM'd us and all that stuff. And I tell you, folks, always tell your loved ones you love them.
Yep.
Because we don't know what the F is going to happen tomorrow or 5 minutes from now. You know, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's. You know, Bob's been a fan, right, Jerry? We've known her for years.
Long time. And husband was a huge subscriber to The Insider, man.
Her husband was a New York City fireman.
Yeah.
Like my father was. Just a good man.
Awesome.
And she lost him a couple years ago, which was devastating.
Yeah.
And now her son would be absolutely incredible. So, Bob, I'm thinking about you, man. Seriously. It's just... Unbelievable news. It really is. So,
well said.
I don't know what to say. Jerry,
Well said.
I DM'd her before. I was like, Bob, I just don't know what to say.
Yeah, right. No, how can you say?
I just don't know.
Yep. But it's like, you know, we always talk about like how much we can't stand social media with people that have a lot of hatred. And then, you get to know a lot of these people that are really nice people. And then these things happen. It's like it hits you hard because you feel like you know them. And Barb's one of the good ones, you know? It just sucks. It's terrible.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, so we talk about the revival. We got to try to make that happen.
Yeah.
Guys, let us know. Text Jerry, whatever you want to do.
You
know, we'll try to make it happen, okay? And before the season, or next week, or next couple weeks, whatever you guys want to do. Where you want to do it, or just five people on at once, right, Jerry, I guess, the live stream?
Yeah, we can do it. Yeah, sure.
Can we do five people at once, Jerry? You're the technician here.
Absolutely. Five. Yeah. We can roll five deep. Sure.
Nice. Yeah, so
we'll call it the nickel episode.
The nickel episode, yeah.
Nice.
So we'll make that happen. I think a lot of people will like that too. So
yep. All right, dude. Good stuff. Can't wait for tomorrow night. Can't wait to watch Giants football. Then we'll talk about everything next Wednesday. All right, guys. Thanks for everything. Again, thanks for the donations. You guys are the best. Sundays are Giant days. Take care, everybody.
Get 15% off a set of BrakeMess Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.